Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Here's the thing, Britton Covey, he was the best punt returner in the NFL last
year. Yes, he was. I don't understand why people, I got to get better. No, you don't.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365. It's a John world, and I'm living in it. We got Johnny Mack, and joined by now by John Stolness. John Stolness, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show, man.
Doing good, guys. How you doing?
Good, John. You're living the life with the Phillies. Best start in Phillies history. Is that true? I know it's the best start since Seattle, back.
Through 50 games, the best start in Phil's history. 0-1 Mariners, last team to get off to this kind of start. 98 Braves, the last National League team. It is good times right now.
Now, are you wringing your hands and saying they're peaking too quickly?
That's my worry.
Yeah.
You know what? We got to have something to worry about, right? Might as well be that.
It's really, John. We got to worry about something.
Yeah.
How are we going to function if we're not terrified of losing in the first round of the playoffs right now? So,
yeah. Just enjoy the ride would be my recommendation for all the Phillies fans out there. And I think the Eagles like it because they get some I think they like it when the Phillies are relevant because they don't get the microscope as quickly as they typically do. But when they're on the field, they get it anyway. And they were on the field for the first time in front of reporters on field OTAs yesterday. I'm sure you saw all the news coming out. I was impressed by the defense, you know, and you should be ahead this early. And it's a passing camp. It's all passing. I don't even know why offensive linemen have to show up to these things, but or defensive linemen for the most part. From the things you saw, anything catch your eye as far as excitement level?
I mean, I think you have to be excited about what you're hearing about Quinyon Mitchell. These OTAs, because like you just said, they're not doing any running. There's not really any pads. There's, you know, you're not running the, you know, it's mostly, this is going to feature a lot of the guys who you expect to have a lot of athleticism, a lot of the quick guys, you know, you want to see that. In this setting, can they stick with wide receivers, especially with these new guys in the secondary? You wanted to get a sense like how they're going to match up Cooper DeJean in the slot. You know how they're going to look athletically. Can they hang athletically with some of the guys that the Eagles have that they're running out there? And I think Quinyon Mitchell, by everything you're hearing, acquitted himself pretty well in this open day of OTAs where the reporters were able to be there. So I thought that was a good thing to see. And you're right, it's because the defenders know. No, you're simply just going to be doing passing drills and there's 7-on-7s and all that. You know, they don't have to worry about protecting against the run, so they can just kind of sell out on the pass. And, you know, so it's not a real true indication of anything other than just getting some guys on the field. And for us being able to see, how does the coaching staff see these guys in terms of depth chart, in terms of where they want to put them on the field, moving all the chess pieces around. And so, so it sounded like of all the guys that Quinyon Mitchell was opening the most eyes on day one, just his ability to stick with guys. I know Darius Slay was talking about that. Hey, there's some stuff I can help him with, but generally speaking, I think there was a lot to be encouraged about, especially from Mitchell and DeJean.
Yeah, it seems like you can really see Mitchell's raw talent, which is great to see. Obviously, when you take a guy in the first round and you want him to, you know, be a day one contributor for the team. Cooper DeJean, let's go there. It seems like they kind of used him in the role that everybody was expecting them to. A lot, you know, played some nickel corner. Johnny Mack did mention he got outside a little bit, and then he also did punt returner. So as you mentioned, this is a day for people who have high athleticism, and this is a featured day for them. But what do you make of what you've seen so far from Cooper DeJean, and what do you expect his role to maybe be in year one?
Yeah, I think, and it was interesting because James Bradbury wasn't there, and not reading anything into that because some of the veterans don't attend these mini camps that are not mandatory. But that gave DeGene a chance to get on the field against some number ones. And I think he was active. It sounded like he was active running around out there, getting involved. I liked him in the slot. I think that's going to be the spot for him. I don't know if he's going to end up being the starter in the slot from week one. Right now, it looks like he very well could be, because I don't think they're going to put Mitchell in the slot and have him be the number three if they keep Bradbury. So and Avante Maddox is back, of course. So Maddox, maybe he starts the season off as the nickel corner or the slot corner. But just being able to see that he can hang right in an NFL defense and Vic Fangio's defense. And, you know, I think Vic Fangio is gonna be able to use him in a lot of different ways. And so he's exciting. And then as a returner, here's the thing. Britton Covey, he was the best punt returner in the NFL last year.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So, shit. I don't understand why people, I got to get better at punt. No, you don't. You got the best punt returner in the NFL.
And in fact, I was looking for Britton Covey maybe to work his way into the offense a little bit more here this season.
By the way, John, he looked good. Second. Yeah. I mean, their receivers, we're going to talk about receivers. Yeah. They are incredibly thin. And Devontae wasn't there, to your point about the veterans. So, you know, Paris Campbell looked like the second coming. the other, and Britton Covey, Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee were locked in on Britton Covey. He was creating separation, catching the football. At some point, they got to give the kid a chance, I would think. I guess the size is just difficult to overcome.
Yeah, but small guys have performed. I mean, look at guys like Julian Edelman. You know, I'm not saying Britton Covey's Julian Edelman by any stretch of the imagination, there are guys who are small but can find pockets. If they've got good hands and they've got twitch ability and they can find pockets in the zones and shake one-on-one coverage and when they're playing in the slot, those guys can be highly productive players in highly functional offenses, especially an offense like the Eagles, where you'd have a couple of deep guys on the outside who can stretch the defense. There should be areas in the middle of the field for some of these small twitchy guys to get some run. And so I like Covey, the idea of Covey in that role. The idea might be more enticing than the reality. So
I think the quarterbacks like the idea, because Jalen Hurts was kind of pushing for him to get more playing time last year, last season as a receiver.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee were, looking his way quite a bit. So I think the quarterbacks are on board. But even somebody like Edelman was under 6 foot, but he's probably 5'10", 5'11". I don't know what he was, but...
Yeah, Covey's shorter than
maybe
me.
180, 185, 190. You know, Covey, they list him... I'll get my Vic Fangio roster up. They list him at 5'8", 173. There's no way he's 5'8", and there's no way he's 173. Jeff Kerr's vertically challenged, our buddy from CBS. Sorry, Jeff. And Jeff said he's 5'6", and he's about the same height as Jeff. So he's really
catching strays this morning. Sorry,
Jeff. I know, man. Poor Jeff.
No, Jeff said that. Jeff himself said that. So I feel comfortable. He said he's about the same height as him. So, yeah, I think they're giving him some. So, I don't know if it'll work, but, man, he gets open. I'll say that in practice. So why not? He seems not to be
worried. At the very least, don't take away his punt return duties at this point, right? I mean, these guys out. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you need a solution for something that's not a problem. Don't go searching for a solution where a problem doesn't exist. Try guys out. You know, you want to get them a feel. Covey gets hurt. You want to have backup options. That's as far as I would go.
It's nice to have Cooper DeGene to return punts, but
also, do you want a high pick? Yeah,
you want him involved in the defense. You don't want him worried about returning punts anyway. Or Anaya Smith. Hopefully, he can develop when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. He can return punts as well. But yeah, Britton's. I'm with you, John. He was the best punt returner in the NFL last season.
He was.
And crazy that many people want to move on from that. But wide receivers as a whole. You know, it's interesting. Xander and I did a way too early, as everyone does, projection on the 53.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have DeVante Parker making the team.
Yeah.
But when he decided to retire, it just kind of put the, it put a giant light on just how little depth there is outside after AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith. And then DeVonta wasn't at OTAs yesterday. So all of a sudden, your starting receivers are AJ Brown, which is great, Paris Campbell, not so great, and Joseph Nada, brutal. I mean, that is not good. And look, you can't have players in the holster to replace AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith. So if you lose them, it's going to be an issue. But you can hopefully not fall off a cliff like they might fall off a cliff right now. They got to do something at that position, don't you think?
I do, because I think relying on like Johnny Anaya Smith, who I'm excited about, I think he could be, I think he's an interesting player, but in year one, relying on a guy who is a, you know, a pick as late as he was to be somebody that could step in and replace Brown or Smith, or even just some semblance of a replacement, is a little bit risky. But if you look around, there's not a lot of great options out there in free agency. You're almost hoping that, you know, maybe as camp draws near and teams start to make cuts, that maybe a wide receiver shakes loose. But I mean, you're talking about guys like a lot of injury prone guys like Hunter Renfro and Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. You know, those are the names that are still out there right now. Those are the names we all know and recognize. But Julio Jones is still on the vine. I don't think we're anticipating a reunion. And certainly if one of those guys gets hurt, you're not looking at a guy like Julio Jones to give you a whole lot of production. So, yeah, it's scary. I mean, and I would probably at this point take a flyer on a guy like Renfro or Thomas or Landry, just provided that they're healthy, provided that they still have something left in the tank, just to get another veteran in here, because Jalen Hurts sure seemed to love throwing to Paris Campbell yesterday. I was seeing that a lot too, that Hurts was really peppering Paris Campbell's.
Paris looked pretty good, and I think it's more of, all right, he looked pretty good against the other guys.
It's relative. So I mean, I think something else has to be added to the roster from the outside, and I don't think it's at this point of the year. I don't think it's coming via a trade. You know, we seem to be past trading season. I think maybe you're going to see Howie wait and see if any other wide receivers shake loose over the next few weeks. But I know what's out there is likely what's going to be available, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sign one of those guys on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, and I understand why, but most fans don't like to think about that, because it's like, we have AJ Brown and DeVonta Smith. I don't want to think past them when we have guys that are that good. But just a year ago, we played a playoff game without AJ Brown. So it isn't, you know, if you want this team to be able to, you know, have a chance if something happens, worst case scenario, then you need to fill that role, as you saw last year in the playoff game. It didn't go well when we didn't have AJ Brown out there. So, you know, it does kind of concern me if the drop off is that big. And DeVonta Parker, he's getting a lot of talk.
Yeah, Quez Watkins is Randy Moss compared to the group that was out there yesterday.
Can we get Quez back? But no, he's
a good one. Now, the defense, I have not been a big fan of the, as people watch this show know, of the Devin White signing. I just think, I think people look at he's the number five pick and he's going to be good forever. And I maintain that he was never good. He was okay for one small stretch. But boy, and maybe, you know, they're talking about the NFL going to Australia, the Middle East this morning, for those just waking up, these international markets. They hired a new black football president. If we ever go to 7-on-7 football, I'm all in on Devin White, John.
Yeah.
He was tremendous. He was tremendous. Looked a little overweight, but for someone who's overweight like myself, I'm talking to the other reporters. He looked kind of big, but boy, he's athletic. They tried Saquon on a wheel route once, which I know people want to see. He didn't have an inch of separation on Devin White, and that's what you're looking for: running back against linebacker. So, I mean, the athleticism is there. How much hope do you have for them to unlock that and turn that into a well-rounded linebacker?
Not a lot. I mean, I just, they haven't really developed any linebackers in recent years where you can say there's a track record. TJ Edwards was maybe a guy that we've talked about that they have developed in years past. But, you know, as in term, there hasn't been a lot of talent that's come out of the Eagles locker room at linebacker. And so I don't know what they have in place. Maybe Vic Fangio, because, you know, he's the architect of his particular brand of defense. He can figure out a way to make Devin White work. But I'm not confident necessarily. I would have liked to have seen them go out and get somebody who's a little bit more established this offseason. It just didn't seem like they either had the resources to do that or the desire to do that, focusing in the secondary. I do like taking a chance, though, on a guy like that, a guy with all the athletic ability, all the physical tools to kind of to take his game to the next level. But sometimes a number five overall pick gets drafted number five overall, and he probably shouldn't have been. And it's probably what Devin White is. I'm skeptical. I'm kind of holding my powder on Devin White, because I think if he was going to be an impact player in the league, we would have seen it already.
Yeah. Kind of ping pong in here on offense and defense, John. But I want to ask you about a lot of video yesterday of Saquon Barkley and Eagle Green. Boy, he is a husky running back, but yeah. Just your first thoughts on what you saw from Saquon. I know we're not seeing much, obviously, but it's exciting, I think, to have a running back of his caliber. Do you think he works out well in Philadelphia? How do you like him for the team?
I still like the fit. I still think it's a good match. I think he's going to do well in this Kellen Moore offense. He certainly is, you know, he's just a different looking guy. Like he has that prototypical running back look. I think in recent years, the Eagles have had running backs who are a little bit slighter. I think with Barkley, they have a bell cow running back. Now, will they use him in that way? I have no idea, but I don't think we're going to see as much Kenny Gainwell in big
we
spots.
We saw a
here.
Lot of Kenny. By the way, Kenny looked phenomenal yesterday. Yeah, he really did.
He's had stretches. I mean, in the 22 playoffs, he looked phenomenal. Yeah. So, I mean, Kenny, it's in there somewhere every once in a while. Yeah. But with Saquon,
but again, it's 7-on-7s. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's his wheelhouse, because he's a really good receiver.
Yeah,
I know people haven't seen it, but he's a really good receiver. And the Eagles haven't utilized it, which is part of the reason why. So DeAndre Swift is a really good receiver, and they didn't utilize it. And I don't know if they're even going to utilize it with Saquon, but yeah, he looks the part. Saquon is massive lower body. Nobody questions his talent. I don't necessarily see the fit, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, and with Saquon, it is going to depend. A lot of his production is going to come through the passing game. It's so much of this is going to come down to Kellen Moore and what kind of offense he wants to run with Jalen Hurts and all these different guys. You know, it's especially down near the goal line. Like, are we going to see more Saquon down near the goal line, or is it going to be Jalen Hurts still kind of with the tush push or the brotherly shove or whatever it is? But I think as long as Saquon stays healthy, I think he's going to be productive. But that's the big question. You know, Saquon has dealt with some injury issues in recent years. He was, you know, healthy last year, but can he be the guy? Can he be a high impact running back at his age? And he's not old, but, you know, it certainly is the aging curve for running backs is steeper than at some other positions. And, you know,
and he was wearing a sleeve yesterday on his left calf, I believe it was. I have to double check, but, and I thought about tweeting out that, and I said, nah, I'm not going to panic everybody. He's out there, he's working. But yeah, you have to worry. 1,500 touches, some history of injury. You certainly have to worry about that as well. And that's just part of it.
Yeah.
Tyler Steen, but though, John, they have rolled out the red carpet and said, take this job, Tyler Steen, take it. They're giving him the podium treatment. Obviously, got the first team reps for what it is with the offensive line. That's just individual work. They didn't even give Trevor Keegan any work at right guard. They started him at his college position of left guard. They did have Matt Hennessy at right guard, though, and they let Brett Toth. Xander and I were talking about this. Because I think Matt Hennessy, if he's healthy, because he's a proven NFL player. He was pretty good in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But his last 2 years were derailed by knee injuries. So health is a big part of it. Now, the competition aspect I mentioned, if he's the backup center with the second team, he can't take backup right guard reps. So the one little avenue they left open, they let Brett Toth be the backup center and Hennessy was the backup right guard. So maybe that's the safety net, but they certainly want Tyler Steen to win that job. Are you comfortable with that?
I think I am. I like his size. I think he's good in that spot, but I think this is the part of the Eagles that may not be getting talked about enough. And if there is an issue with this offense, it's going to come in the middle of the offensive line. We all know that Jason Kelce is gone, but have we really taken into account the impact that that's going to have? I mean, with Cam Jurgens moving over to center, it's why he was drafted. And I think maybe that's why no one is wringing their hands about this yet, is because Cam Jurgens was drafted with the idea. We thought Kelce was going to retire a couple of years ago or last year.
Well, he's the third heir apparent. People forget Isaac Seumalo was drafted to be Jason Kelce's replacement. And then Landon was. And he was so good at left guard, they just leave him there.
Yeah.
And now Cam was. So
yeah.
They've shifted before. But yeah, I'm not too concerned. I'll admit, I'll raise my hand. I'm not too concerned about Cam Jurgens. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's, it's very difficult to presume he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. So it's going to be difficult to replace Jason Kelce. I don't want to dismiss that, but I think overall he's going to be a really good center, really good player. But what I'm really worried about, he missed six games last year. Yeah. Jason Kelce was just there for through everything, thick and thin. So, you probably can't count on that durability even more so than the stellar play.
Yeah. And we'll get an idea in training camp if what the real plan is at backup center, because like you said, they're not, the offensive line isn't doing any real work here. In these 7-on-7s necessarily. So maybe there's a different backup plan for the backup center. Maybe they go out and they get somebody else. But you asked me a minute ago whether I thought Devin White, whether they could develop him and turn him into a player. Regarding Tyler Steen, I have much more confidence that Jeff Stoutland can do what he did with Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata and Cam Jurgens, even at the guard position, to develop these guys into not just productive NFL players, but potential Pro Bowl, All Pro NFL players. And I even though I am concerned about the Kelce Steen combination at center and right guard there, I'm more optimistic than I am about finding solutions in some of the other spots, say on the defense or at wide receiver right now, because at the offensive line, they've always figured it out. They've always figured out a way to make it work. They've brought in these young draft picks. They've turned them into viable NFL players. And I think that's going to continue. I'm like you, John, I'm not overly worried about it. And I think going with Tyler Steen here is the right call. I think he's got all the physical tools. He's been with Jeff Stoutland now for a year. Year two seems like a good time to throw him into the mix. He was a day two pick. So it's not like you're trusting this to a fifth rounder or a sixth rounder. Let the kid try it out. And like you said, they have gone out and they've gotten some veteran backups just in case it doesn't work out. So I feel like they've kind of covered themselves there in the off chance that Tyler Steen is a disaster, but I just don't anticipate that.
Yeah, it's almost built into every offensive line conversation about the Eagles that we have Jeff Stoutland, and he just makes such a big difference that he turns, obviously Mailata his best story. But the one thing I was happy to hear from Tyler Steen at the podium was that Cam Jurgens has been very vocal in the room, which I think is a good thing because I don't worry as much about Cam filling Jason's role physically. I think Cam is going to be a great center. I think he's going to be a great player. But I wonder if I'm putting a lot of stock in the other things Jason Kelce did, calling out the blitzes, managing with Jalen Hurts. Like, is Cam going to be able to do all that? I'm hopeful he can. I think he'll be able to pick it up quick. And maybe I'm putting too much stock in that part of the position. I don't know if
I'll forget or not, stealing a half yard on the tush push. Yeah, he's not going to be able to do that.
Well, I think we'll have a real good indication of how Cam, whether he's really going to be taking on Jason Kelce's role, if he can get a podcast up and running. I mean, that's going to be the most important thing.
That's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a brother. And I'm sure he doesn't have a brother who's
dating a mega pop superstar. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, maybe not the biggest pop superstar right now in the world.
That's right. So, yeah,
it's going to be difficult.
But I agree with you. I mean, I think remember in his rookie season when he got some play at center in the preseason, he was doing a lot of the things that Kelce does in terms of getting out and getting mobile and getting downfield.
Yeah, very athletic. Yeah,
very athletic player. Now, Kelce's awareness, his situational awareness on the field and knowing where to go, who to block, being able to take out three different guys on one play, 20, 30, 40 yards downfield. I mean, we've just never seen that from a center before. Yeah. It's hard to ask even a guy as athletic as Cam Jurgens to do all that, but he doesn't need to be Kelce for this to work. No. And I think that's the key.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, there was a clip floating around and Aaron Donald's talked about Jason Kelce in the past. And Aaron Donald might be the best, not might be, he's the best defensive lineman of this generation. Mm-hmm. And he just hated playing against Jason Kelce. Yeah. And vice versa, by the way. Jason says wonderful things about Aaron Donald. And the Eagles get a lot of credit for shutting out Aaron Donald. They're the only team. They never gave up a sack against Aaron Donald. And they played the Rams quite a bit, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. But Kelce did this one dissertation where he was like, you don't know how much attention we give to that guy. There's not one time where we plan to say, all right, just leave Aaron Donald by himself. They slid protection to him every single play. So it's always fun when you see two Hall of Fame players just have so much respect for each other. But yeah, it's going to be tough to replace Jason Kelce. But I do think Cam Jurgens is going to be a solid player. It's never great to have to replace a legend because it's going to be very difficult to live up to those expectations. And we'll see how that shakes out as a whole. Backup quarterback, I want to talk about, John, because Kenny Pickett looks sharp, man. It's one day in May. It's not meaningful, but I'll say right off the bat, and you never want the backup quarterback to play, but if he has to win a game or two, I'd rather have Kenny Pickett than Marcus Mariota. I think the Eagles upgraded that backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, probably a small upgrade, more of a, I didn't like the trade. I felt there were options out there where you just sign somebody rather than give up, you know, draft picks or whatever to bring on Kenny Pickett. But Kenny Pickett's a starter in the league. I think he's more of a passer than Marcus Mariota is. I certainly agree with you there. I'll be cautiously optimistic, I guess, on Kenny Pickett. And Tanner McKee, I think, he's actually kind of a guy I'm a little more excited about. But again,
there was a lot of good stuff coming out on Tanner McKee.
No Will Greer? No Will Greer. That's because Will Greer didn't get one rep.
That looked good for him. Yeah, in that regard. Yeah.
He's here because he's Saquon Barkley's golfing buddy, evidently. Right.
There are worse things to be.
No, he's also friends with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier. So he's like the extra coach on the field.
It's who you know, John. It's who you know.
It's not a bad idea, actually. But for those who think because Will has a history, long history with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, he's going to push Tanner McKee. It ain't happening. And that's a good thing. I do like Tanner McKee as a developmental quarterback, but I don't think he's going to be pushing Kenny for the second role, for the second quarterback role.
No, not unless Kenny in the preseason, and again, preseason, you're not making any real determinations, but I mean, if Kenny Pickett looks abysmal in the preseason, I mean, like unplayable abysmal, and Tanner McKee looks a whole lot better, they're going to be conversations. I mean, they're going to be conversations.
No, there is. And by the way, they both have a chance to look poor because we go back to where we started this. The backup receivers are not good. So, if you're out there playing significant time in preseason football, it may look ugly at times. Yeah. And I thought it looked ugly at times for Jalen Hurts yesterday. And that's why I'm not concerned because he's trying to, get the ball to Paris Campbell and Joseph Nauta. So
yeah, can I want to say, so I don't know if you saw his tweet by WIP yesterday. They were tweeting some video of the OTAs, and they had one video of like all the Hurts has got his speed back or something like that, and it just showed him like faking a handoff and kind of running around the side with
open
field. Like, how are you, like, what's the basis we're judging this on? How can you even?
Well, hey, you know how this industry works, John. I think froze up.
Did I froze up
on my end?
No, you're good. You're good for me.
Oh, all right. That probably me. A thunderstorm coming through. But I hear what you're saying, John. But you know how this works. People are in engagement, and it gets people excited. I was just talking. I was just texting somebody. Somebody who wasn't even there. Tweeted something about James Bradberry not being at OTAs, and it got like a couple thousand likes. And I'm like, this is where people are getting their information. I mean, they're not even there. It's about generating engagement. And WIP is good at it.
But. And listen, I don't have any. I like the sports radio stations in Philadelphia. I'm on them. So I mean, I'm just, the tweet was silly because, you know, you can't tell anything about Jalen Hurts' health, his knee, or anything else based on one 12-second video clip of him rolling out during a drill. I mean, I hope that his knee is healthy, but nobody ever said that it wasn't last year, like after like the first few weeks of the season. The eye test told you something was up with Jalen Hurts. And I still maintain that his offseason was so screwed up last year with the shorter offseason, all of the different new obligations that he had after that Super Bowl performance as an NFL megastar.
I think he recognized that too. I think that's a good part. He took a lot on, whether it was endorsements or being as you mentioned, that megastar. I think he scaled back. You've already seen he scaled back on that. I think he's hyper focused on getting ready for the season.
He was everywhere last year, John. I mean, you couldn't turn around and he's not being profiled. He was everywhere. And I think that affected his preparation last year. I think that affected his ability to physically prepare for the season, which he may not have suffered an injury, but he just may not have been physically prepared and then wore down a little bit more easily last year, which is again one of the reasons they drilled into his head, don't get hit, and that factored into the desire not to run and prepare for that part of his game. So I think there were a lot of things going on with Hurts last year. I am very optimistic. If talking about things we're optimistic and not optimistic about, I'm very optimistic about a Jalen Hurts bounce back season, provided his receivers are healthy. I think he's going to look better. I think he's going to run a little bit more like he did in 2022. And he didn't have a bad year last year.
I don't even think he had a bad year. I think if he cleans up the turnovers, I think he had a bad year from a turnover perspective.
Yeah.
And some of that is just bad luck. You know, you talk about those mesh point videos, you know, that's always given to the quarterback. It might be the running back's fault. I remember Kenny Gainwell botched one of those last year, and that goes on Jalen's record. Now, so you have to look at each turnover. Now, the interception against the Jets, the interception against the Seahawks, those are Jalen Hurts plays, and you got to clean that up. But if he gets back to where he is as a typical guy who takes care of his football, I don't even think people says he has a bad season. I don't think it was bad. Wasn't as good as 2022, but I don't think it was bad.
Yeah, if he goes from 20 turnovers to 7, that season looks a whole lot different. But I'm gonna take the contrarian approach to both of you. I love a May 22nd football dopamine hit of QB1 running a little route on the outside. I'll take it all day long in May.
Yeah,
fair enough.
He's got the juice back. So well done, WIP. And from at John Stolness, make sure you follow John on X. Thanks for hopping on the show, John. You can read him at Bleeding Green Nation, bleedinggreennation.com.
And the podcasts are coming back, John. The podcasts are coming back. Yep, starting this week. Yep, we're going to do Eye on the Enemy, and we're going to be introducing a new podcast, Eagles Memories. I'm going to be taking a look at the 2004 season from 20 years ago. I'm going to have an episode coming out on Friday about the Terrell Owens signing.
Eagles Memories. I love that.
Yeah. All right.
Where can people find that, John?
It's going to be on Apple Podcasts. It's going to be part of the Pin Pull podcast network that some of us from the old Bleeding Green Nation podcast network are kind of getting started again. So if you follow my timeline on Twitter, at John Stolness, I'll have links and everything, and you can all start subscribing there.
There you go. Nice. I love that. That's a great idea for all our Eagle heads in the chat. Make sure you follow John and stay up to date on that. That's a great, great podcast. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. John, thanks for joining the show today, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, John.
John Stolness joining us, doing good stuff. And the exciting news, the podcast is coming back. Eye on the Enemy was always a great podcast. And the addition of that other one. So Johnny Mac and I will take a break and we'll come back and we'll get into the nitty gritty of the OTA. We got into it a little bit there with John Stolness, but I want to pick Johnny Mac's brain on what else he saw. Maybe the things that stood out to him. John, you said some interesting stuff on a Devin White. I mean, we've been, you know, a little bit of a Debbie Downer on him, I think.
Oh, that's what I pride myself on, objectivity. He played well. I'm not expecting a lot, but for one day in May, he played well.
So good stuff. We'll talk more about that coming up next. If you're in the chat room, we do appreciate all of you guys. James, Big Pickin, Paul Mancini, Scott. We appreciate all of our Eagles faithful that joint that tunes into Birds 365 every single day. So we appreciate all of you guys. Drop a like on the show. Stay tuned and we'll come back. And I'll get Johnny Mac's deep dive into what he saw yesterday down at OTA practice. Real quick, John, before I hit the break. They're scheduled to be back out there today. Are you guys, do you guys have any availability? Okay, so no more availability.
Today. Only each cluster of three OTAs, and they only have two of them. We only get one. So we'll be back in there most likely next Thursday, a week from today. Not 100%.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. They were yesterday and then today. They're off tomorrow, and then they're back Tuesday, correct?
Tuesday, yeah. Memorial Day, obviously. So they're going to be back Tuesday, and then they're going to have Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday next week. And most likely we'll be out there on Thursday.
Okay, sounds good. So, and a fitting time to say there will be no Birds 365 on Monday, Memorial Day. So everybody enjoy their Memorial Day weekend. There will be no show on Monday, but we'll be back strong Tuesday when the Eagles are back out at OTA. So we'll take a commercial timeout. Hour number two of Birds 365 coming up next.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.